We're doing Perek Gimel of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Ra'uhu Vetin V'chol Yisrael. Let's say the whole of Israel were together. Everyone came together. And the Beis Din was there. And everyone was there and they saw the new moon. So, Nechkeru Ha'edim. V'lo Espiku Lomar Mekudash. And then people were busy. And even though they questioned the witnesses, but they didn't reach the verdict of saying, Mekudash, we sanctify the new month, we accept the testimony. So you might think, if everyone saw the new moon last night, the night between the 29th and the 30th, what can you do? You can't ignore it. Everyone saw it.
What does it mean, everybody?
Let's say everyone got together. The Navi said, I have to give a speech. I want everyone here. So everyone got together to the Beit HaMikdash. Everyone got together to Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel. So let's say there was something happened. It's an exaggeration, but let's imagine a case. Everyone got together and everyone saw it. So if everyone got together and the Beit Din was there, let's say it was a time of war and everyone had to get together to fight the Plishtim. So everyone's standing on the mountain and after sunset, everyone's looking out towards the Plishtim and they see the new moon right after the sunset. 5 minutes later, war breaks out. They're fighting war the next night, the next day. And by the time the Beit Din has time to interview some witnesses and declare the new moon, declare it's a new month, it's sunset. They missed the time. It's Seta Kochavim. So, V'lo Espiku Lomar Mekudash, the Beit Din did not have a chance to declare the sanctity of the new month, Ad Shechashecha, till it became dark, till Tzet Kochavim. So you might think, they're stuck. You can't, by default, we'll say yesterday was still Rosh Chodesh. The Mishnah tells us, no, Arezem Ubar. Yesterday was not Rosh Chodesh, even though technically the new moon was yesterday. But because Beit Din didn't declare it, so it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is going to be tomorrow. And here there are two chidushim. One is that we don't care if all of Israel knows we're lying. Meaning we're saying tomorrow's the first of the month. Everyone knows yesterday was the first of the month. Everyone saw that new moon, and we don't care. We say this is the way it is. The Beit Din has the power. If they didn't declare it a new moon, no new moon. Come on. Everyone saw the new moon, but there isn't a new moon. But there is. But halachically, we treat it like there isn't. And we don't care. That's a big chidush. The second chidush of the Mishnah is that we have a rule that Beit Din cannot come to a verdict at night, but if they began their judgment, if they were doing steps and they were on the verge of giving their ruling, so then we would give the ruling at night. So the question is, do we view the questioning of the witnesses as tchilat din, that they really started the process of coming to a verdict, and then the declaration is just giving the verdict? Or do we say no? It's its own entity. You have to start and conclude with Mekudash. We don't consider the questioning of the witnesses the way we would in any other court case as though we started by daytime. Then even if it drags into the night, we don't care. And this Mishnah teaches us that Kiddush HaChodesh is its own entity. And even though you started questioning the witnesses by daytime, if it dragged into the night, you cannot declare it a new month at nighttime. So that's two chidushim in the Mishnah. Ra'u Beit Din Bilvad. Let's say the Beis Din is standing on a mountaintop and they see the new moon. So if it's not yet set a kochavim, so the Beit Din themselves can declare that it's a new month. But if they saw it and there wasn't time, so then they need to give testimony because they're talking the next day. If they saw now, they're standing and they saw the sunset. So Shkia is not the end of the day. After Shkia, there's a point called Tzet HaKochavim, which is the end of the day. We don't know when that point is. Between Shkia and Tzet HaKochavim is, we don't know, it's twilight. So in Chazal's time, they did know. In the time of the Mishnah, they knew. They knew when was day and when was night. And Shkia was not night. Today, we treat Shkia as night. Once it's Shkia, you're not allowed to do any Melacha Friday. We wait till Tzet HaKochavim to be lenient, Motzei Shabbat. But once it's Shkia, the day's over. You can't do anything. Friday afternoon, you see the ball of sun go down, finished. It's Shabbos. You didn't light Shabbos candles, too bad. You're not allowed to light them anymore. Halacha is, from Shkia, we treat it like the next day with anything that's stringent. But in the time of the Mishnah, they knew exactly when the day would switch. So let's say the Beit Din were standing outside and they saw the sunset and they see the new moon. So then we have a cloud. The Gemara says, you cannot say that Shmiya is Gdola Mireiya. When they're sitting here, witnesses walk before them, so they have to figure out from what the witnesses are saying, what did the witnesses see? if the Betin themselves saw the new moon, so obviously what they saw is more powerful than testimony that they heard. So shelotei shmiya gdola mireya. What they heard can't be more powerful than what they themselves saw. So this is a rule only in Kiddush HaChodesh. We have a rule, let's say a Betin is sitting and they see Yanko running after Shmero. They run into a tent and Yanko walks out with a bloody knife. They walk into the tent and Shmero's dead. So we say they can't know what happened. Let's say they're standing there and Yanko takes out a knife and cuts off Shmero's head. They cannot judge Yanko. The halacha is that they, even though they saw it, they cannot judge him. Because we say that a court always has to be able to judge favorably. Once they saw him perform murder, they're never going to be able to look at him positively. So they can't be the ones to judge him. They could testify before another court, but they can't judge. Over here, with Kiddush HaChodesh, they could judge. If they saw the sun set and saw the new moon, and it's still daytime, so then they can declare it a new month on the spot. But if they could not, if they couldn't, they didn't have time that day, so then, Yamdu Shnaim Ve'yedu Bifneihem, so two of them will come as witnesses and testify before a court. The Yomru, Mekudash Mekudash. And they will declare it's a new moon.
They will come to another Beit Din?
Either another Beit Din or one of them will combine with another two. Two have to stand as witnesses.
So where is it saying? So where is it saying what you said? What was it before? Is it not stated here?
It's not stated here. Ra'u Shlosha Vehen Beit Din. If three saw the new moon, they themselves are Beit Din. Yamdu Shnaim. So when they come to declare the new moon, two give testimony. And in order to declare the new moon, we say you have to have a betin of three. So the one will have to, they'll have to bring two more people to sit in judgment with the one who saw it. Meaning there were three who saw it. Two of them will testify. One of them will sit in judgment, and he alone cannot judge. Even though in other issues we say yachid mumche could be done. Let's say two people have an issue. They have an argument and they say, okay, we trust him. Daniel's an expert in monetary issues. Whatever he says goes. Then we could accept the yachid. We could accept the yachid even if he isn't a mumche, certainly if he's a mumche. But when it comes to the new moon, so then Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, HaChodesh hazeh lachem. You two, just like you two are two, and you'll add one to have a Beit Din. So too, whenever you declare a new moon, it must be in front of a Beit Din. We don't accept yachid mumche. So that individual will have to get two more to listen to his two friends' testimony.
Wait, so if there's a mumcha, he can
and monetary issues he could judge, not for the new moon. Okay. Special din, the Torah tells us by Kiddush HaChodesh.
You just said that they can both testify and declare.
Two will testify, and we need three more that will declare. We need three that will declare based on the testimony of two. You need a minimum of five. Unless the Beit Din themselves saw it, and they had time by the date and amount. They did, but they saw it and they couldn't say Mekudash. They weren't Mekadesh the Chodesh that night. So the next day, they're testifying already. So then they need to say it before two, before three. Yeah.
That formula of five,
three is the Beit Din, two are going to be witnesses. V'yomu Mekudash Mekudash, and they will declare Mekudash Mekudash on the new moon. She'ena yechid ne'man le'edei atzmo. We don't accept one alone to sit in judgment over the new moon. Now the Mishnah goes over to discuss shofarot. We know on Rosh Hashanah we have mitzvah to blow shofar. The Torah tells us we have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What is the concept of shofar? So shofar we know was blown at a time of war. It was something that aroused the people. And we also know that the shofar, the blowing of the shofar, is referred to as yebavot, as yelalot, as wailing. And the cleanest form of begging for something is to cry. When a child wants to move his parents, he doesn't talk, he just cries. That's the cleanest way to get your message across. So that's what we're doing when we're blowing shofar. We're crying before Hashem. The shofar represents our tears. So those are ideas, but bottom line, the Torah tells us we have to blow shofar. The Mishnah tells us, Kol ha-shofarot kesherin, chutz mishel para. All shofros, the horns of animals, are kosher, except for a cow, mipnei shu keren. Because that isn't called a shofar, that's called the keren in the Torah. And the Torah tells us about Rosh Hashanah that you have to blow a shofar. Amar Rabbi Yossi, whenever we have Rabbi Yossi alone in the Mishnah, doesn't say Rabbi Yossi Haglili or Rabbi Yossi something else. It just says Rabbi Yossi, that's Rabbi Yossi ben Tachlafta. Rabbi Yossi said, V'alo kol ha-shofarot nikru keren, sh'ne'emar b'mshoch b'keren ha-yoved. So Rabbi Yossi says, wait a second, All shofaros are referred to as a keren. We have a pasuk in the Navi that says when you blow the horn of the keren of the yovel, and you see that even the shofar of an ayil, which is the classical shofar, is called a keren. So that shouldn't be a proof that the cow's horn is called a keren. And Chachamim say no. Other shofarot are also called keren and also called shofar. The cow's horns are called only keren. They're never called shofar. And therefore, they are disqualified. Now, let's take a minute just to discuss how a horn grows. How does a shofar grow on an animal's head? Okay, so... The wide part is on the animal's head, and the thin part goes out, right? And there's a bone on the inside, and then there's the shofar on the outside. After some animals shed their horns, or after we slaughter an animal, we cut off the horn. And then you have the shofar on the outside with a lot of bone on the inside. So how do you clean out the bone? So you could drill, and then you risk ruining the shofar. And you could straighten out the shofar like the Ashkenazim do. So then you use a straight drill. That's easy. And then you have less risk of ruining the shofar. The way you straighten out a shofar is you put it in boiling water. And then it becomes soft. And then you straighten it out. Because it doesn't grow like that. You've never seen an animal with a horn that looks like a shofar, right? No animal has that straight line coming out of its head. It doesn't exist. What they do is they put in boiling water and then they straighten it out. Or you could do it the way the Yemenites do it. The ancient way is you take the horn of the animal and you bury it in ground where you have a lot of worms and they eat the bone. And then after a period, you take it out and all you have left is the shofar. Everything else gets eaten by worms. So that's how you get. You can't drill with a curve. How are you going to drill the curves of a shofar? That's the way you can get it clean without drilling. Yeah.
I forgot where, but I thought I learned somewhere that the reason why we don't use the horn of the cow is because of the eagle.
Could be. I don't know. The Mishnah doesn't discuss that reason. The Mishnah discusses technically how we derive it. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah Gimel. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah, shel Ya'el Pashut, is simply from a ram. Ufiv mitzupe zahav. And the mouth is, on the outside of the mouthpiece, not on the inside, not where your lips go, but around the mouth on the outside, they'd put gold on it in the Beit HaMikdash. V'shtei chatzotzot min hatzdadin. And in the Beit HaMikdash, when they'd blow shofar, so they had two chatzotzot on the side, two trumpets on the sides. So they'd blow on the outside and the shofar on the inside. They'd blow together. Shofar ma'arich v'chatzotzot mekatzot. And the shofar, his blast would be longer than the blast of the trumpets. Shemitzvat hayom b'shofar. Because the primary mitzvah of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that's the primary mitzvah, blowing the shofar. So the chatzotzos are like an accompaniment. So in the Beit HaMikdash, we'd blow shofar in the middle, two chatzotzot on the side, but the shofar's blast would last after the chatzotzot, so everyone would hear him. Yeah.
It was just mitzupe's coated?
Yeah, mitzupe is coated, yeah. So we have one more minute left. Let's review what we learned until now. And then we'll call it a night for tonight. What do we see? We saw that Rabbi Gamliel had forms of the Levana, forms of the moon up in his attic. And those who needed those, he would question them based upon the diagrams that he had. And then we saw two stories. One was that witnesses said we saw it in the morning and we saw it at night. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said they're liars, and Rabbi Gamliel accepted them. He said, I don't believe him about the morning, I'll believe him about the night. And then two witnesses came and said we saw the new moon on the night of the 29th. And then the night of the 30th, no one saw it. So Rabbi Gamliel accepted it and made Rosh Hashanah on the 30th. And Rabbi Dosa ben Arkina said they're liars. Rabbi Yeshua said, what you say makes sense to me. And Rabbi Gamliel says, wait a second, you have to come to me and show everyone that you accepted my ruling, that Rosh Hashanah was really on that day. Come to me on Yom Kippur, according to your cheshbin, with your money and your stick. Rabbi Akiva tried to comfort Rabbi Yeshua unsuccessfully. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas explained to him from the verse that you cannot question the court. The court was given the power to give ruling, and if you don't like it, you have to accept it anyways. And then Rabbi Yoshua accepted what he said and went to Rabbi Gamliel, who kissed him on the head and said, welcome, my Rebbe and my student, my Rebbe, because you're smarter than me, my student, because you've accepted what I said. In the third chapter, we said that even if all of Israel realizes that the new moon was on the night of the 29th, but for whatever reason, the courts could not declare Rosh Chodesh the following day, Rosh Chodesh will become the next day, the day 31. If the Betin themselves saw it, if they have time, they can declare the new month. And if not, then the next morning, two of them will take the position of witnesses, and the third one will have to take two more friends to hear the testimony, because the court must have a minimum of three. Then we went on to discuss shofar, and we said all shofarot are kosher, except for cows, because cows is called keren and is never referred to as a shofar. And we said that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is from a ram, and it is simple. And the only thing is they'd coat the mouth of the shofar on the outside with gold, and they'd have two trumpets standing besides the man blowing the shofar in the Beit HaMikdash. He would blow the shofar longer than they would blow the trumpets, because the primary mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah are the shofarot. Any questions?
גם החצרות וגם השפעות, את כל המאה תקיעות היו עושים ככה?
לא יודע, צריך לבדוק. זה נשמע ככה, אבל אני צריך לבדוק ברמב"ם.